So are you ready
for your show?
Hola, baby. Soy little Steven. Bienvenido a Little Steven's Underground Garage and Rock FM.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen.
Buenas noches, familia. Soy Carlos Medina y aquí me tienes listo para acompañarte en una de nuestras aventuras en el Underground Garage de Little Steven. Esta noche tenemos por delante un programa muy especial, y no es un decir. El guitarrista de Springsteen se dispone a recordar uno de esos momentos después del cual nada vuelve a ser lo mismo. Ocurrió un 9 de febrero de 1964 en uno de los programas de mayor audiencia de Estados Unidos, pero aquel día se batieron todos los récords. Se dice que toda aquella persona que vio el programa aquel 9 de febrero del 64 recuerda perfectamente dónde y con quién lo hizo. Me refiero a la visita de los Beatles al show de Ed Sullivan. Con ellos, le damos la bienvenida a nuestro maestro de ceremonias. Buenas noches, Little. Comienza el Underground Garage. I Want to Hold Your Hand. Son los Beatles, aquí en Rock FM.
Thrilling to hear it. The shot heard round the world, and then some. This is Martin Lewis, Beatles correspondent for Little Steven's Underground Garage, or Garage as he insists on calling it. It was February the 9th, back in 1964, that the Beatles played the Ed Sullivan Show, and the world has never been the same. On February the 8th, there were virtually no rock and roll bands in America. And on February the 10th, every future freak, rogue and ne'er-do-well were moving lawnmowers and boxes of Christmas ornaments in their parents' garage to make room for the drums and amplifiers. February the 9th, 1964, of course, is considered by most sociologists and any anthropologists that can keep a beat to be the most important date in the history of the universe. The Big Bang was the musical equivalent of chopsticks compared to this. Yes, Jesus, the Buddha, Moses and Muhammad had their moments, but religion really began for my generation on Broadway and 52nd Street with the most unlikely Mr. Sullivan in the John the Baptist role. Well, I suppose Julius Caesar, Alexander the Great, Attila the Hun and Napoleon made some impact, but their accomplishments pale in comparison to the British invasion of 1964. Do you realize what you Americans looked like back then? With your military 50s haircuts, Madras shirts, corduroy pants, pimples and penny loafers? It was appalling! Without February the 9th, 1964, there would be no rock and roll, no 60s renaissance, no punks in the 70s, classic rockers of the 80s, grunge in the 90s, garage bands right now. No fashion, no coolness, no bikinis, no Eastern philosophy, no sports cars. In other words, no sex, no drugs, and no rock and roll. A band representing friendship, brotherhood, community was about to influence a country in mourning, known for its uncompromising individualism in ways it wouldn't dare dream. And time stopped, and the magic began, and hope was reborn.
Now, yesterday and today, our theater's been jammed with newspapermen and hundreds of photographers from all over the nation, and these veterans agree with me that the city never has witnessed the excitement stirred by these youngsters from Liverpool who call themselves the Beatles. Now, tonight, you're going to twice be entertained by them. Right now and again in the second half of our show, ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles! That's...
Close your eyes and I'll kiss you. Tomorrow I miss you. Remember, I'll always be true. And then while I'm away, I'll write home every day, and I'll send all my loving to you. I'll pretend that I'm missing the lips I am missing, and hope that my dreams will come true. And then while I'm away, I'll write home every day, and I'll send all my loving to you. All my loving I will send to you. All my loving, darling, I'll be true. Close your eyes and I'll kiss you. Tomorrow I'll miss you. Remember, I'll always be true. And then while I'm away, I'll write home every day, and I'll send all my loving to you. All my loving I will send to you.
Later they said there was the least reported, or there was no reported crime. Even the criminals had a rest for like 10 minutes while we were on.
Hi, this is Cheech Marin, and you're with Little Steven in the Underground Garage, the non-herbal way to feel your reality has been altered.
In a shabby raincoat, where are you tonight? Cheap purple baby doll dress, a gardenia in your hair. Much taller and stronger than me, a forbidden dream.
rest of your spine. Deep ass, deep ass. All I wanna do is tell Gardena what to do tonight.
And they have some dear old lady who decided, all these chalk marks all over the board, I better wipe these off, they look so messy. So after spending a whole afternoon there trying to get the sound right, this dear old lady cleaner decided she didn't like chalk on the console and wiped out all our settings. So what you get is what you get, not what you should have had.
I feel all right now. One, two, three, four, shake it some more. Five, six, seven, eight, don't you be late, all right.
We started with the Big Bang, Love Rock and Roll, I Want to Hold Your Hand, the Beatles' fifth single, and finally, the one the American company would release through life-threatening coercion, and the damn broke. As they say, it would be one of the very few number one records to be number one in both America and England. And the first of 19 number one hits for the Beatles in the States. I think that's still a record. We started our first set the way the Beatles started their Ed Sullivan appearances. All My Lovin'. We would get their second album here, thinking it was their first. It's called Meet the Beatles. That actually was With the Beatles. But we'd soon catch up, and everything they'd released in the previous year and a half in England was suddenly released here, and we couldn't get them fast enough. It was a true phenomena. Never quite been matched before or since. Hippie Hippie Shake was part of the Beatles' regular repertoire. Much of their regular repertoire would be borrowed by various artists, and Swingin' Blue Jeans would have the hit cover of Chan Romero, Montana's only rock and soul star. Until Gary Talent, anyway.
No Direction Home. Cheap Trick. New album coming. They wrote and produced it. Very cool stuff. Gardenia. Iggy Pop. Yeah, baby. The album is coming. Post-Pop Depression. Josh Homme producing and co-wrote it with Iggy and the gang. Cool stuff.
Shake It Some More from Tony Sheridan, one of the mentors of the Beatles. He is actually fantastic, much ignored by history. He would use the Beatles on a couple of tracks. That wasn't one of them. Bert Kempfert producing. We're calling the show The Big Bang, celebrating the Beatles playing the Ed Sullivan Show, February 9th, 1964, changing the world as we knew it.
Esta noche estamos recordando uno de los momentos más importantes de la historia del rock and roll. Uno de esos momentos a partir del cual muchos de los grandes músicos de la historia decidieron que lo suyo sería el rock. Aquel acontecimiento fue la actuación de los Beatles en el show de Ed Sullivan el 9 de febrero de 1964. Pero antes de que los cuatro fabulosos aterrizaran en el aeropuerto Kennedy, la maquinaria promocional se puso en marcha unos meses antes. La idea era publicar el single I Want to Hold Your Hand para dar a conocer al grupo antes de su llegada. Pero su música corría como la pólvora en manos de los DJs norteamericanos que pinchaban la canción una y otra vez. Fue tal el éxito de aquel single que la compañía discográfica tuvo que publicarlo antes de lo que tenían previsto. Salió al mercado el 26 de diciembre de 1963 y en los tres primeros días había vendido 250.000 copias. Para el 10 de enero habían hecho lo propio con más de un millón. Todo parecía apuntar a que el desembarco de los Beatles en Estados Unidos iba a causar más furor que la intervención de Elvis unos años antes en el propio show de Ed Sullivan. Pero aún así, ninguna expectativa se acercaba a lo que estaría por ocurrir. Pero ¿quién fue el artífice de que la banda tocara su repertorio en el show? Pues por lo visto hay diferentes versiones sobre cómo tuvo lugar el acuerdo, pero la que más peso tiene cuenta con Ed Sullivan como protagonista. Sullivan viajaba con su mujer en 1963 a Londres y al llegar al aeropuerto de Heathrow se encontraron con miles de jóvenes emocionados sosteniendo pancartas. Al preguntar a qué se debía esa aglomeración, le comentaron que esperaban a una banda inglesa que estaba de moda en aquel entonces y que volvían de su gira por Suecia. Ed Sullivan quedó intrigado por saber quiénes serían aquellos muchachos que causaban tal furor. Sin embargo, no fue hasta un año después cuando firmó con el manager de la banda, Brian Epstein, la primera actuación de los Beatles en Estados Unidos. La espera mereció la pena, ya lo creo. Por cierto, ¿dónde estaría Little Steven aquella noche del 9 de febrero del 64? A ver qué nos cuenta. Dale, maestro.
Welcome back to the Underground Garage. Capitol Records was started by songwriter Johnny Mercer, music store owner Glenn Wallach, and Paramount Studios executive Buddy DeSilva with DeSilva's 25 grand in 1942. It was bad timing because the American Federation of Musicians instituted a ban on recording, saying records were killing opportunities for musicians to work live. And the three record companies that ruled, Decca, RCA Victor, and Columbia, decided that airplay on the radio would hurt record sales. So they wouldn't give radio any records. I think we've come full circle on that one. So Capitol, being the new guy on the block, says screw that and gave the DJs free records, which got the records played, and they sold like crazy, of course. Capitol was also the first to use magnetic tape in 1948, which sounded better and actually allowed them to edit. I'm not sure that was a good idea or not. They grew quickly, signing Nat King Cole, Benny Goodman, Peggy Lee, Jackie Gleason, Dean Martin, and Frank Sinatra. And in 1955, EMI, an English company, bought 95% of Capitol, giving them first right of refusal on all EMI products. Okay, so they hire this cat, Dave Dexter, to be the man deciding what to release and what to pass on. They had signed Cliff Richard, who was a big star in England, but his two shots on Capitol bombed. So after that, Dave Dexter decided he didn't like rock and roll, and for that matter, anything English. So the combination of English rock and roll, forget it. He was sent the Beatles' first single, Love Me Do, and he passed. He especially hated the harmonica, which he said belonged on blues records, not pop records. They sent him the second single, Please Please Me, same problem. Capitol wasn't offered the third single, From Me to You, but Del Shannon covered it, and it only went to 77 on the charts. Surely he had to take She Loves You, right? Their fourth single, and third number one smash in a row in England. No thanks. At this point, George Martin, the Beatles producer, is ready to fly over and strangle somebody. So when they pass on the fifth single, I Want to Hold Your Hand, manager Brian Epstein says enough's enough and calls President Alan Livingston for the first time. Hello, Mr. Livingston. Brian Epstein here. I'm personal manager of the Beatles, and I don't understand why you won't release their records. Livingston says, well, frankly, Mr. Epstein, I've never heard them. Oh, well then, says Epstein, would you mind terribly much giving them a listen and calling me back? So Livingston checks him out, actually likes what he hears, and calls him back. Okay, says Livingston. I'll put him out. Just a minute, says Epstein. I won't let you put them out unless you spend $40,000 promoting the first single. Now, no one had ever spent that much on promotion, like, in history. It was unheard of in those days. But for some reason, he didn't really know himself, Livingston agreed to do it. Now, luckily for him, he only had to spend about a dollar and a half before I Want to Hold Your Hand came out and went straight to number one. I mean, it was a huge smash. Meanwhile, Dave Dexter continued passing on English rock and roll. He just didn't care for these long-haired kids. He passed on Jerry and the Pacemakers, Billy J. Kramer and the Dakotas, the Hollies, the Dave Clark Five, the Swingin' Blue Jeans, the Animals, Herman's Hermits, and the Yardbirds. Oh, he did sign one band. Freddie and the Dreamers.
Now, in introducing the Beatles again, may I point out that they'll be on our show, as I told our audience, for the next two Sundays. Next Sunday from Deauville Hotel in the Miami Beach show, starring Hollywood's exciting Mitzi Gaynor. But ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles, here they are.
Close and tell me how you feel. Tell me love is real. Words of love you whisper soft and true. Darling, I love you.
This is Sonny Curtis.
Joe B. Malden.
Jerry Allison.
And we're the Crickets. You're listening to Little Steven and the Underground Garage.
Say you'll kiss me, yes, you're gonna say you'll love me, 'cause I'm gonna love you too. I don't care what you told me, you're gonna say you'll hold me, yes, you're gonna say you'll love me, 'cause I'm gonna love you too. After all, another fella took you, but I still can't overlook you. I'm gonna do my best to hook you. After all he said and done, you're gonna say you'll miss me, you're gonna say you'll kiss me, yes, you're gonna say you'll love me, 'cause I'm gonna love you too. My way, yes, you're gonna say you'll love me, 'cause I'm gonna love you too. You're gonna tell me sweet things, you're gonna make my heart sing, yes, you're gonna hear those bells ring, 'cause I'm gonna love you too. After all, another fella took you, but I still can't overlook you. I'm gonna do my best to hook you. After all is said and done, you're gonna say you'll miss me, you're gonna say you'll kiss me, yes, you're gonna say you'll love me, 'cause I'm gonna love you too. I'm gonna love you too. I'm gonna love you too.
Thank you.
Now, you'll like these. You'll really dig them. They're fab and all the other pimply hyperboles.
I wouldn't be seeing Dad in them. The dead grotty.
Jail, solitude, watch, or Birmingham blues incarnation, who drove cross-country 72 hours to find out if I had a vision, or you had a vision, or he had a vision, to find out eternity, who journeyed to Denver, who died in Denver, who came back to Denver and waited in vain, who watched over Denver and brooded and loaned in Denver, and finally went away to find out the time, and now Denver is lonesome for her hero.
Yeah. might stitch this bar to scoop. Take a ride in my car, hang loose at my swinging flat, the truth. I'm a real gone cat.
That set with the Beatles covering Buddy Holly, Words of Love, just fantastic. Didn't change it, just the Beatles being the Beatles. And Buddy Holly and the Crickets, I'm Gonna Love You Too, Norman Petty producing.
Electrocutioner, yeah, brand new from Soraya. Very cool stuff, written by Zuzu and Travis, and they produced it with Stephen LaFascia. Get it from Soraya.com.
The first of the Beatle influence groups, the Bee Gees, when they were a 5-member rock band in 67, In My Own Time, from their first really cool album. Their first two albums definitely worth getting. Robert Stigwood himself and Ozzy Byrne producing.
Far Out was the Cherry Drops out of Los Angeles. Cool stuff. Get it from thecherrydrops.com.
Del Shannon, the first man to introduce Lennon and McCartney as composers to America. Their first cover, From Me to You. John Lennon had mixed feelings about it. At first flattered and then worried that it might steal their American thunder. But there was no American thunder to steal. Sort of a non-event. We're celebrating the Beatles' legendary performance on the Ed Sullivan Show, February 9th, 1964. The real day the earth stood still.
Now, I just think today, 30 days after September, so I ask all of you little chickadees to remember to permit our country in Canada to hear Cilla Black, Soupy Sales, and Alan Rossi starring on our program tonight with the Beatles. Now, before... Well, come on, do it!
Cilla
Sigues en Rock FM y estás escuchando el Underground Garage. Esta noche estamos recordando uno de los momentos que cambiaron la historia del rock and roll, la actuación de los Beatles en el show de Ed Sullivan. Sullivan y el manager Epstein firmaron 3 actuaciones en el show a cambio de $10,000. De modo que todo estaba dispuesto. I Want to Hold Your Hand era ya todo un triunfo en Estados Unidos y la Beatlemanía dio el salto al otro lado del Atlántico. Solo quedaba que pisaran suelo norteamericano y esto ocurrió el 7 de febrero del 64. Miles de personas les esperaban en el aeropuerto Kennedy y la prensa ya estaba lista para escuchar las primeras declaraciones de la banda. Seguidamente marcharon al hotel en el que se alojaban y fue tal la expectación que generaron que hubo muchas personas que acamparon en los alrededores. Es más, el plató donde se acabaría la actuación tenía un aforo de unas 700 personas, pero llegaron 50.000 solicitudes para asistir al show. Muchas celebridades de la época solicitaron un pase, pero pocos lo consiguieron. Una de ellas fue la hija del señor Richard Nixon, pero bueno, como para decirle que no. Finalmente llegó el día. A las 8 de la tarde de aquel 9 de febrero del 64, América sintonizó la CBS para ver el show. Se estima que 73 millones de personas se juntaron aquel día frente al televisor. Ed Sullivan les presentó y la banda comenzó con All My Loving. La historia del rock and roll comenzó a cambiar. Dale, maestro.
Welcome back to the Underground Garage. So Dave Dexter at Capitol Records passes on Please Please Me, and intermediary Paul Marshall offers it to Atlantic. Too derivative, says Jerry Wexler. So Marshall goes back to a small label known mostly for its black artists called VJ. V for Vivian Carter and J for Jimmy Bracken, husband and wife owners of a record shop in Gary, Indiana. They were doing well with Jimmy Reed, Staple Singers, John Lee Hooker, the Spaniels, the Dells, Jerry Butler, and lately they had taken a chance and signed a white group, the Four Seasons. Had 3 number one hits in a row with them, and Paul Marshall had sold them an Englishman named Frank Ifield after Dave Dexter at Capitol passed on him. Ifield's I Remember You was a smash, of course, and by the way, written by Johnny Mercer. So VJ signs the Beatles to a 5-year deal. They skip Love Me Do and put out Please Please Me and From Me to You, and nothing happened, so they forgot all about it. They would have released the Beatles' first album, which they had retitled Introducing the Beatles, in summer of 63, but they began having financial problems due to President Ewart Abner's gambling habit. So somebody at VJ sees the Capitol press release on I Want to Hold Your Hand and the upcoming Sullivan shows and all that, and says, hey, don't we have an album by these guys? They realize they do, and they rush it out January 10, 1964, 10 days before Capitol gets Meet the Beatles out. But Capitol serves an injunction and wins. Ultimately, in the settlement, VJ will get to release Introducing the Beatles, but they had lost the rights to all future recordings by not paying the royalties owed before the contract deadline. They lost a 10% royalty rate on all Beatle records through 1968. Because of a non-payment of $859.
Wait, oh yes, wait a minute, Mr. Postman. Wait, wait, hey, 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 Mr. Postman. Mr. Postman, look and see. Oh yeah, back for me, please, please, Mr. Postman. Oh yeah. There must be some words. Girlfriend, so far
beef with South Florida. When they were 65, I sent two healthy, vibrant 65-year-old parents to South Florida. 30 years later, they were dead. I mean, what is it? The air down there? Let's do a lawsuit like that lady who sued McDonald's because the coffee burned her, you know?
Said I don't know, make you feel good.
know something?
No, what?
You read too many comic books.
Well, he's real abstract. He's different.
That's right. That's right. I'm cute, too.
Fabulous Marvelettes, Please Mr. Postman, Motown's first number one single. The Beatles really the first to cover girl groups, which was an odd thing to do, and many would follow suit, beginning with the Hollies.
Black Coffee, Rival Sons, baby, yeah. Gonna be on their new album, coming out. You can get it if you go see them. They put it on the tour edition of Great Western Valkyrie.
You combine the Beatles with the Who, and you got the Raspberries inventing power pop, more or less. Tonight, Eric Carmen writing and singing, and Jimmy Einer with that legendary production, and the Marvelettes themselves with Playboy, another top 10 single. Marvelettes had two fabulous lead singers, Gladys Horton and Wanda Young. Gladys on this one. And she co-wrote it also. And we'll be back with our coolest song in the world this week.
Hola familia, sigues en el Underground Garage de Little Steven. Esta noche The Beatles están ocupando la mayor parte del show, como es lógico, pero llegados a este punto, nos detenemos en uno de los momentos clásicos por excelencia, la canción más chula de la semana. Esta noche vamos a disfrutar del debut de una banda californiana. Lanzaron el disco a finales del 2015 y hoy les escuchamos con su canción Fortune Teller. Son The Shelters, pero no serán los únicos en sonar. Esperamos a los Beatles, pero imagino que ya lo sabías. Dale, Little.
coolest song in the world this week comes from Los Angeles. Please welcome to the Underground Garage stage, The Shelters.
Until that day she puts my heart at ease. nothing much wrong with Buzz. A good 12-year-old kid. With a lot of normal 12-year-old problems. Just a little shy, maybe. Wondering what it takes to become part of the group. To really belong. Buzz was searching. And sometimes when a kid is searching for the right answers, it hurts a little.
How do you like the new clarinet, Jim?
Hey. Oh, let's see, Fred. Boy, is that ever the most.
You should hear the tone. Wow.
Guess I got what I deserve. Kept you waiting there too long, my love. All that time without a word. Didn't know you'd think that I'd forget or I'd regret. Special
evening, everybody. My name is Ringo, and yours isn't. Anyway, here I am on Little Steven's Underground Garage Show, listening to real people play real instruments and turning themselves into real bands. Christ, it's great, Steven. We're really glad you're doing it. It's fab, fab, fab.
Loving me, baby, that's the
lay down your
started that set with our coolest song in the world this week, Fortune Teller. No, it's not the Benny Spellman Fortune Teller Alan Toussaint wrote. This is a new one, and very cool stuff, produced by Tom Petty and some of the band members, Chase Simpson, Josh Jove, I think that's how you pronounce it, although his publishing company is called No Way Jove. Makes me wonder if it's No Way Jove. So it might be Josh Jove. There's no, what do you call that little thing that goes above the E, you know? It doesn't have one of those. So, anyway, everybody's used to me screwing up names. And, speaking of which, Ryan Oliate. Oh, man, I'm having a bad day here. Uliate? Oive? Written by Ryan Oive. Anyway, it's a very cool record. There's four tracks on it. We're going to probably add all of them. It's actually on a real label. Warner Brothers. Or get it from sheltersmusic.com. So welcome to the Shelters. Our coolest song in the world this week, Fortune Teller. Billy Fury, one of the greatest of all the early English rockers, pre-Beatles, nothing shaking but the leaves on the trees. Billy covering Eddie Fontaine's greatest hit. Eddie, quite a character, appeared in Alan Freed's first Book and Fox show and was in Girl Can't Help It. And did some time later on for trying to have his ex-wife whacked. I don't know when that became illegal. I'm kidding. Yeah, kind of a weird career, but we digress. Another early group from the Beatles school of influence, Badfinger, Baby Blue. The Beatles would actually sign them to their label, Apple. Pete Ham writing that one, and Todd Rundgren. That excellent production. And the Beatles live at the BBC with Soldier of Love, the great Arthur Alexander cover. Although Arthur did not write it, Buzz Kasson and Tony Moon wrote it, and inexplicable why the Beatles never recorded that one. Absolute classic. Even in its live form. It's the Big Bang, baby. And the ripples from that explosion will never stop.
Bueno, familia, estamos llegando al final del Underground Garage de esta noche aquí en Rock FM. Pero antes de despedirnos, quería darte las últimas pinceladas de lo que supuso aquella actuación de los Beatles en el show de Ed Sullivan. Una semana después del fervor que causó en todo el país, hubo una crítica que se publicó en el Newsweek Magazine en la que se reseñaba más o menos algo así. Visualmente son una pesadilla y musicalmente son un desastre. Las predicciones parecen apuntar a que se desvanecerán sin dejar rastro. Bueno, parece que este crítico se confundió, pero de todas maneras, ¿quién iba a saber que eso no era solo una moda pasajera? Desde luego que no, fue un cambio en el rock and roll. Lo que sí está claro es que todos los que vieron aquella actuación por televisión recuerdan perfectamente dónde y con quién lo hicieron. Tanto es así que muchos de los músicos que hoy giran por todo el planeta decidieron que su vida sería el rock and roll después de ver a los Cuatro Fabulosos aquel 9 de febrero del 64. Por ejemplo, teníamos a Gene Simmons de los Kiss, el propio Little Steven o el señor Richie Sambora, quien fuera guitarrista de Bon Jovi. Música inspirando música, y por mucho tiempo. Dale, Little.
Welcome back to the Underground Garage. We are celebrating the big bang of rock and roll. The Beatles' appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show February 9th. You could argue the big bang was Elvis Presley's appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show, actually. But whatever. We'll celebrate anything around here. The Beatles did change the world, temporarily, at least, for the better. Timing is everything. When the Beatles hit, we were still in shock at the assassination of President Kennedy, November 22nd, 1963, the day with the Beatles was released. England had the Profumo sex scandal, ultimately taking down their government, not to mention the great train robbery. So journalists and the public were ready for a bit of good news, or at least a distraction. The February 9th Sullivan Show was America's fourth glimpse of the Beatles, and without question, the big one. They were seen first on Edwin Newman's story on the Huntley-Brinkley Report, November 18, 1963, on NBC. Then on December 10th, Alexander Kendrick's story on the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite. Then on January 3rd, a tape of them doing She Loves You on the Jack Parr program. And then 3 weeks in a row, beginning February 9th on Ed Sullivan. The Walter Cronkite broadcast turned out to be particularly important for this reason. On the evening of December 10th, 15-year-old Marcia Albert is watching Cronkite with her family in Silver Spring, Maryland. The news ends with a clip of the Beatles playing She Loves You, and Marcia likes it. So she writes a letter to her local station, WWDC-AM, telling them about the Beatles and asks, why can't we have this kind of music in America? Well, this station had a policy of doing anything possible to make its listeners happy. Can you imagine that concept? So DJ Carol James arranged for the Beatles' latest single, I Want to Hold Your Hand, to be flown in by the British Overseas Airways Corporation. You remember them, as in flew in from Miami Beach, B-O-A-C? Yeah, remember that? On December 17th, Carol James has Marcia Albert come down to the station to introduce the song on the air. She's a natural. She says, ladies and gentlemen, for the first time ever on the air in the United States, here are the Beatles singing I Want to Hold Your Hand. It was the first time for that song, but the first Beatles song ever broadcast was Please Please Me on Chicago's WLS, February 1963, by DJ Dick Biondi. Anyway, she plays the record, the switchboard lights up, and WWDC-AM adds it to the playlist in heavy rotation. Now, Capitol has the record scheduled for January 13th, so this is a month early. After being ignored, disrespected, turned down four times by Capitol, released by other labels with no success, finally, the Beatles have somebody interested, actually enthusiastic, giving them airplay. So what happens? Capitol issues probably the first cease and desist order in rock and roll history. In other words, the geniuses at Capitol are telling WWDC-AM to stop playing the record. Fortunately, Carol James tells Capitol, forget it. It's a hit, and I'm playing it, and you can't stop me. Alan Livingston, president of Capitol, realizes he's right. They really can't stop them, so they hope it's an isolated incident and quietly move a few thousand records into the Washington area. There's only one problem. James had made a copy for his DJ friend in Chicago, who played it and got the same reaction. And he made a copy for a guy in St. Louis, then forget about it. This thing cannot be stopped now. Historically, no records were ever issued during the holiday season, but they had to put it out, which they did on December 26th, the day after Christmas. It sold 250,000 its first 3 days, and a million singles by January 10th, on its way to 5 million that year. And Marcia's Little Letter gave the Beatles 3 extra weeks of exposure, leading to the explosion of excitement when they landed in New York City February 7th. Yeah, how about that?
When I'm walking beside her, people tell me I'm lucky. Yes, I know I'm a lucky guy. I remember the first time I was lonely without her. Can't stop thinking about her now. Every little thing she does, she does for me, yeah. And you know the thing she does, she does for me, ooh. When I'm with her, I'm happy, just to know that she loves me. Yes, I know that she loves me now. There is one thing I'm sure of, I will love her forever. For I know love will never die. Every little thing she does for me, yeah. And you know the thing she does for me.
Have a beer. Not a drop in the house. What do you know?
Homer, I'm impressed. You're taking this quite well.
I will kill you. I'll kill all of you.
Homer!
Sorry. Don't worry. There's plenty I can do to keep myself occupied. Maybe I'll check out that axe collection. See you later.
Mom, is Dad gonna kill us?
We're just gonna have to wait and see.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Sid Herring.
And this is Don Wood.
And we're the Gants, and you're with Little Steven in the Underground Garage.
Thank you, Art Hannes. Tonight's show again stars the Beatles before their return to England, you know. Discussing today, we're all going to miss them. They're a bunch of nice kids. And co-starring with the Beatles from Liverpool, from California, Gordon McRae and Sheila, from Harlem, Cab Calloway, plus comedians Dave Barry, Morty Gunty, and the comedy team of Morkman Wise, plus our special guest, the bearded clarinetist Acker Bilk. But first, a word about Chef Boyardee.
Yeah.
I'll be back again. 'Cause I told you once before goodbye, but I came back again. I love you so, oh, I'm the one who wants you. Yes, I'm the one who wants you. Oh, 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 you could find better things to do than to break my heart again. This time I will try to show that I'm not trying to pretend. That if I ran away from you, that you would want me to, that I got a big surprise. Oh, 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 you could find better things to do than to break my heart again. This time I will try to show that I'm not trying to pretend. I wanna go, but I hate to leave you. You know I hate to leave you. Oh, 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 you. If you break my heart, I'll go, but I'll be back again.
We started with one of the Beatles' coolest from one of my favorite albums of theirs, Every Little Thing, from their fourth album, Beatles for Sale. We do now go by the English configurations of the Beatles' albums. As most of you know, the English and American versions were quite different for the Beatles and Stones. And interestingly enough, we do use the American versions of the Stones records, since two of their best albums didn't exist in England. Fats Domino's version of Everybody's Got Something to Hide Except Me and My Monkey. Richard Perry producing that one in 69. He would soon do Ringo's most popular singles. How about somebody from the Beatles school living in Greenwood, Mississippi? The Gants, My Baby Don't Care, 1965. Their first album, Roadrunner. Legendary Sid Herring, Don Wood, Vince Montgomery, and Johnny Sanders. Herschel Wigington and Dallas Smith producing. Old Kings Road was Michael Monroe. We all know Michael from Hanoi Rocks and many cool solo records and Demolition 23. Brand new record, very cool. Blackout States, produced by Chips Keasby. And Old Kings Road, written by Steve Conte, Rich Jones, and Sammy Yaffa. All three joined Michael with Carl Rockfist. And this is any indication it's going to be a hell of an album. And one of the fabulous five outtakes from Hard Day's Night, I'll Be Back, tossed aside. And for anybody else, a career-making record. Produced by the great George Martin.
I have to face stupid reality again.
We want to thank our presenting sponsor, the Seminole Hard Rock Cafes, Hotels, and Casinos Worldwide. We want to thank Voice of America, Jimmy Bertel, which goes to all over the not-so-free world. And we want to thank American Forces Radio, where we are in 177 countries. Yeah, that's Curtis Eckstein and Thomas Arnholt. Thank you, Curtis and Tommy. Don't forget, if you're up there in... what town's that in?
Rochester!
Thank you, Jack. If you're up there in Rochester, go visit Andy Babuke, or you can reach him, of course, the modern way, Andy Babuke's fabgear.com. But go to the joint itself, which is very cool. Andy Babuke's Fab Gear.
Allow me. I'm a bit of a famous mimic in my own small way, you know. James Cagney. Hello there, this is the famous Ringo here, Gear Fab. What is it that I can do for you, as it were, Gear Fab?
Not a bit like Cagney.
Yeah, that Scotland Yard always gets it wrong. It's not Gear Fab, it's Fab Gear. And if somebody gets you a radio station for your birthday, call up Andy Denmark and Lori Logan at unitedstations.com, and then you can broadcast this radio show. Go to undergroundgarage.com for various contests, and you can check out the archives of some 600 shows or so. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/undergroundgarage. Follow us on Twitter at littlesteven_UG. I know I've been not tweeting lately, but I got to get back to it. I promise I will. At Stevie Van Zandt. I want to thank our inevitable producer, Dennis Mortensen, our coordinating producer, Jeremy Tufano, and I want to thank Alan Freed, without whom we would not be here. Thank you all out there. We'll see you all next week.
And that's the name of that tune.
Ciao, baby.
Nice ride.
Go back to Jersey, you moron! 's entertainment.
Hasta aquí el Underground Garage de Rock FM, en el que hemos recordado uno de los grandes momentos de la historia del rock and roll. Podríamos decir tranquilamente el momento que lo cambió todo, aquella actuación de los Beatles por primera vez en la televisión norteamericana el 9 de febrero de 1964, ni más ni menos que en el show de Ed Sullivan. Más adelante vendrían otras muchas bandas, The Kings, Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, The Who, muchas bandas británicas que tuvieron la oportunidad a través de aquella actuación de darse a conocer en Estados Unidos, en el propio show de Ed Sullivan. Volvieron los Beatles, los Stones, en fin, salieron muchas de las grandes bandas británicas tocando ahí. Hemos recordado esa pequeña historia y yo espero que hayas disfrutado de este momento de radio. Soy Carlos Medina y te emplazo a que nos encontremos, si te apetece, la semana que viene, el próximo domingo, a las 10 de la noche, en el Underground Garage de Rock FM. Hasta entonces, feliz semana. Un abrazo. Buenas noches, Little. Descansa.